Can you create social media content using AI without losing your humanity? We're going to find out on today's episode of the Artificial Intelligence Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by ThriveCart. Need a shopping cart but don't want to pay monthly fees? ThriveCart is the perfect place to start your journey. When they first started, I didn't think they'd go the distance. Now I have an account. Yes, I've got egg on my face. See how easy ThriveCart makes it to sell digital products? ServeMaster.com/ThriveCart.
Are you tired of dealing with your boss? Do you feel underpaid and underappreciated? If you want to make it online, fire your boss, and start living your retirement dreams now, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Artificial Intelligence Podcast, where you will learn how to use artificial intelligence to open new revenue streams and make money while you sleep. Presented live from a tropical island in the South Pacific by best-selling author Jonathan Green. Now, here's your host.
So, Nico, I'm excited to have you here because your expertise is exactly the thing that drives me absolutely crazy, which is so many people have started posting to social media content that's clearly from ChatGPT, and it makes it harder. So I was just talking to a friend of mine actually right before this call about how so much of our social media feeds are annoying. It used to be everyone's giving me their political opinions when I didn't ask for it. And now it's everyone is also, in addition to that, if they're not doing that, they're giving me content that's obviously written by ChatGPT, because ChatGPT has, for me, a noticeable accent. Like, I can tell because I've seen it so many times. It always has certain phrases it uses. Like, I never say pondering. If I see pondering in a post, I know no human wrote that because humans don't ponder. So tell me a little bit about your passion for content and how people can remember their humanity and see AI as a tool rather than a replacement.
That's what it comes down to. And what you're saying is absolutely true. Show me any post, show me any blog, show me anything that has to do with content creation. I'll tell you right away if it was a human or if it was AI that created it. As you said, there's a tonality, there's a tone, there's a flow to the way it's written that it doesn't sound human. You can recognize ChatGPT right away. But the mistake that we're making is, instead of learning the skills to do copywriting, for example, to actually write properly, we depend on ChatGPT to do it for us. When ChatGPT should be a tool to enhance your brainstorming, to enhance your ideas, to enhance. I treat ChatGPT like it was part of my team. So I have video editors, I have guys that work with websites, I have a bunch of people. And to me, ChatGPT is just like a marketing guy that I can brainstorm with. I'm like, hey, I want to do a video on this. What's your opinion? Or I've already written a piece of content and I'm like, what do you think about this? Do you think that there's something missing in there? Or what are the top 10 ideas people are talking about when it comes to that subject? It gives you a bunch of stuff. It's supposed to be there to help you create a skeleton of information that you're trying to create. It shouldn't be what you create your sole content on. Let's say you have a specific idea. You want to create content about AI. You ask AI, what are the ideas that are out there? Or give me an idea, or give me like a paragraph of information on creating content using AI. People take this and copy paste it on their social feed. And that's what you were talking about. And I agree. I see that all the time. Yet what they should be doing is taking this, imagining the flow of the way it was written, delete 95% of it and replace it by their words. Use this as a basis of their content, not their whole content. But that means that you still need to develop yourself as a person. This is why authenticity is so important. And this is the part that content creators right now are not doing.
I think you brought up something really important, which is treating it like an employee. So every time I've had an employee, what happens when I don't check their work and they figure out I'm not checking their work? They start, right? If you're not, everyone who's ever had an employee knows, if you don't check their hours, if they don't know any employee I've ever hired who says, oh, I don't want you taking the screenshots with the software, I know what that means. I was like, you're already planning on stealing hours from me. So it's the mistake people are making, and I phrase it differently. I say that they're trying to replace themselves instead of promote themselves. What you can do is use ChatGPT to put yourself into management, but you should still read what it writes. Like, I've seen so many times when a celebrity like puts out a tweet that people find really offensive or it's the wrong thing. They didn't write it. It's their Twitter person. Like, they don't, there's someone who did it for them, but nobody cares because whoever's name is on it, you get the credit.
Yeah, 100%.
they're not going to fall on their sword and say, oh, I post that for so-and-so, don't kick them off their TV shows. No, that's what you get the credit. In the same way, if you put something out the door, and I'm guilty of this, like I've had employees who wrote a blog post and I didn't read it. And then later I go back and look at it a year later, I go, oh, this is terrible. So it happens whether it's it's the same mistake, whether it's a person or AI. So I'm more guilty of it with people employees. So that's why I learned the lesson a little while ago. But that's the critical lesson, is that anything that goes out the door, you still need to check it, especially if it's your name on it, right? Like, especially if it's going to say you wrote it, then you really have to check, because you can't say, as people have found it, you can't go, oh, but ChatGPT wrote it, it's not my fault. Turns out no one accepts that excuse. No matter where you get in trouble, it's not an acceptable excuse and it never will be. So that's the first lesson, is that whatever goes out the door, you still need to read it.
I post everything myself. You know what? Yeah. I get millions of views every month. I post 5, 6, 12 times a day and on 5 different platforms. And I do everything myself for the exact reasons that you're saying there. There's no, you can no show me a post and I'll defend it because it's me. I don't have it. If you're offended, I offended you because that was me. There's no employees behind it. It is me. That's why I won't give that control away to people either.
Yeah, I've never let someone answer emails for me. Like when people do that, right? They have a VA or a secretary. Like I don't do that. Yep. I've always done that. So I use a lot of filters to organize my emails to get a lot of email. But that's something I'm like, you can't give that away, because we've all seen what happens when the boss is inaccessible and then something bad happens and he doesn't know. I don't want that to happen to me. But it is, we see this tool, and I think it's because of the hype. Like everyone says, oh, it can do everything, it can solve all your problems, and that's how you sell a product, right? You make it sound amazing.
100%.
If you don't know, and I'm glad you brought up copywriting, if you can't tell if a sales letter is good or bad, you can hire a copywriter and you don't know if they're good or bad copywriter. When I was starting out, I hired bad copywriters who wrote some stuff that was crazy, and of course it didn't sell, and I didn't know why. And when I had someone write something that sold, I didn't know why it worked either. So it's very dangerous to go into areas where you can't tell if it's good or bad. And that's a temptation a lot of people have. Like a lot of people, this is something you used to talk about with your first hire, is the first person you hire, you'll hire someone who's like good at something you're not good at, but then you don't know. You don't know if they're doing a good job or not. You don't know how to, what metrics to put in place to track their work. And you end up always regretting it, right? You end up going, oh, it didn't work out, because they're frustrated because they don't know what the goals are or what the metrics are. So they don't know what to target every week. And you're frustrated because you're not getting what you want because you didn't define it very well and you don't know how to measure it. Like I tried one time to translate one of my books. Someone reached out to me and said, oh, I'll translate it into French for you. And my editor, who also speaks French, goes, great, I can edit it. And then they got into this huge fight with each other over which dialect of French they were using. And I was like, I don't know how to arbitrate this. I don't speak any French.
Yep.
Because I could not check the work. They were like, who are you going to side with? I was like, I don't know which of you is right. I have no, don't have that skill. So that's why the French edition of my book is not out, because of that exact thing. And it's a very, that's the first big mistake I think people make. And I think is that they go, oh, this can replace me. It will do what I was going to do. And they don't read it. And if you're not reading enough content, like I can scroll through my feed. The other thing that drives me even more crazy is how much people abuse Dolly. On my LinkedIn feed, it's all Dolly images. And you can tell because it has this default style, right? And they all look in the same kind
of very flashy colors, the very flashy psychedelic colors.
And it's, they don't even take time to do anything to customize the image. They don't pay attention to it. And it's cluttering because they go, oh, to go viral, you need an image. And so they get an image and they lazy it. And I'm like, you're not even, you don't even want a pretty picture for me. You're not even going to do that. I'm going to get like a bad image and a generic post. That's obviously because have you noticed this? Every ChatGPT post starts with this. It's not this, but it's actually that, always starts with that cadence. And then whenever I see that, I go, Hubbard's phrase, right? It goes, oh, a lot of people think it's problem A, but actually it's B. That's ChatGPT starts every social media post that I've ever read. I'm like, oh my gosh, if you're not pondering, you're saying it's not A, but B. So
it's a lot. It's really a lack of understanding. People don't understand that.
What's the right way for someone to start out? To someone who goes, okay, I want to use these tools to be faster. And that's where I think it's okay. You can use it to be 100%. Faster, but you can't use it to be like, the boss who's never there. So where should people start in your experience? Like, how can they start to be a little bit faster and still create content that's not terrible?
It comes down to your personal skills. Because as you said, this is a learning to use AI, and there's a bunch of great softwares out there. They're not replacing you anytime soon. They will enhance the content that you're making. They will help you create new style of content by giving you ideas. But at the end of the day, as you said, if you don't understand copywriting, how can you tell that the copy it's giving you is not good? If you don't understand imaging, how can you understand that the image it's giving you is not good? I'm somebody that creates a boatload of content, and I love podcasting. So there's a lot of Opus.pro, like videos, editors for you that will cut it all. You know what? I've tried it every way you can think, knowing that I've had up to 7 video editors that worked for me. So I know what it's supposed to look like. I know what works. I know what doesn't. And you know what I end up doing? I edit 95% of my content myself, because I know that those softwares, can they do a good job? They can do an okay job. Can they compete with what I'm capable of doing? Can they compete with what my guys are doing? No. How do I know? Because I've posted enough to know what works, what doesn't, what resonates with my audience, and what doesn't. And I can tell you that Opus.pro, I can recognize it right away. I can tell you that it's Opus.pro, and I can tell you that you did not go ahead and reframe what it chose for you. You just left it as is. You changed the colors of the caption, but all the rest is exactly how it provided. So it's supposed to help you enhance or speed up. I like to say that it will help you create more better content faster. But the more is where it's important. It is not creating quality content for you. If you put garbage into those softwares, guess what you're going to have? Garbage. So the first thing is to understand what is good content. Who's the audience you're speaking to? How do you create a message to resonate with them? How do you show your authenticity? Because if you look at the greats out there, you look at Alex Hormozi, you look at what's the little guy? I used to sell wine. I can't remember. Thank you. You look at those guys, like them or not, they're very authentic in what they do. They have their personal style. You know that when you're listening to them, whatever you agree with them or not, it doesn't matter. They're authentic. They're saying what it's on their mind, and they have developed a very personal style that you recognize, that you know it's them. And this is where the emphasis is supposed to be put on. You're supposed to develop your skills, then enhance them using tools that will make it easier for you to create more content, not create the content for you. Develop your style first, then use AI.
So I just was using, because I use video. Every time I use Opus, It always picks worst clips to me. I've never, with any of the tools, I've never had one where I didn't have to change the beginning and the end, change what it grabbed.
Like your hook at the beginning.
The thought of it, of just letting it run, because I've never seen it. And I think the way it works is that it sends the transcript to ChatGPT with time codes, and then ChatGPT picks out the phrases. And the problem is the prompt they send isn't that great because it's not customized to me. That's what I think is happening. And so I wish I could dive in and tell it, here's my style and here's what's worked in the past, and improve that prompt. But it is exactly that, where if you don't check the clips it chooses. So if I upload my podcast, if I upload this episode, which will have the intro and outro music, it will always pick the intro music as part of a clip. Which is insane. It's insane.
Agreed.
Or we'll pick part of the call to action. So they always pick 20 clips, and I'm lucky if 3 are usable. And I always have to.
Agreed.
They have one version called a magic clip, which is the first 6, and you cannot edit the beginning and end. I don't even play those. I'm like, you're never right. The right start and ending of a clip. It does. And that's exactly it, is that it's the same type of thing. If you use a tool and take your eyes off it, if you just go accept, then you're going to get a low quality result. I think that the problem, one of the challenges I faced, is that there are so many places you have to post content, right? And it's, you have to do Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and TikTok and YouTube shorts and Instagram shorts and Instagram stories and Snapchat, which I don't understand. And then now there's another one, Mastodon. Are you posting to Mastodon? It's like, I created a profile because I want to lock in my username. So that's the one thing I do. But I'm like, to post to everywhere is really hard. And it's I really just focus on one platform at a time. I go, like right now, I'm totally focused on LinkedIn. I'm growing on there. I'm like, I'll just do one well instead of six bad. And that's the first thing, is that you feel this pressure to post everywhere, but like your audience isn't everywhere. My customers are 90% on LinkedIn, so it makes sense. So often we have this need to go, oh, I need so much content that I can't do it myself, which means I have to use these tools. The thing I like the least each week is actually doing the social media clips from my podcast. It's like such a hassle. So doing with an AI is better than having someone on my team do it. It's kind of get the same result, but you still have to go and watch each clip. I wish I didn't have to. I wish it would just pick really good ones and pick a really good template, but it never does that.
But you know, it comes down to understanding. I can tell you where my audience is. I can tell you my demographic on every single platform. I can tell you what video works, what doesn't, what type of content it wants, the time you should post, the type of ideas you should be sharing on whatever platform. Name it. This is what I do day in, day out. So there needs to be an understanding of, as you said, if your audience is not on TikTok, should you waste your time on TikTok? Probably not. If your audience is on LinkedIn, maybe that's where you should concentrate your time. And I agree with you. But it comes with an understanding of having to post everywhere to find what works, what doesn't. Is your audience there? Because unfortunately, if for the people that are out there, if your content is meant, if whatever service, podcast, whatever you're offering, your audience is for people between 25 and 55, you're going to hate it because they're everywhere. So if you're, and this is the understanding, this is why I like Instagram the best, because it will take all different types. Like I like reels. It will take reels. It will take pictures. And 25 to 55 is where Instagram is. TikTok is younger. Facebook's a bit older. LinkedIn is more professional. YouTube is education, thinking about a university of life. So you have to understand these things to know where to post, what to post, to reach your audience. But again, people don't take the time. It's all about taking the time to developing your knowledge and understanding, and especially personal skills to develop those content or those types of content that will resonate with your audience. Most people today don't even understand what their target audience is. They can't even describe me what keeps them up at night. What is the number one thing that that prevents your audience from sleeping at night? 99% of people out there can't even name that. How can you create content that will resonate with them? You can't.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I stopped posting on Twitter, because I was like, you know, and it's a distraction for me to try to master multiple things at once, because there are so many types of content now. There's carousels and stories and short form videos, and LinkedIn has newsletters now, and they have live streams, and they have all these different things. Like, I just, to learn one platform requires all of my attention. And there's this temptation, oh my gosh, my customers are everywhere, but you don't really need every customer, right? If you have 1,000 customers who are just spending a lot of money with you every month, you have 1,000 customers spending $10 with you a month, you have a great life, right? That's $120,000 a year. So like, sometimes we chase and become the jack of all trades. So I think this is a good lesson for how people can approach AI, which is to see it as an accelerant. It can help you to master things, but it's so easy to not look at what it's doing. And the other thing is that sometimes we see people who are putting out bad content and they're doing shady stuff, and it makes us jealous. It's like, oh, it's working for them. They always eventually get caught. They always eventually get banned. They always eventually lose everything. So even though it's a little bit slower, definitely, I think the lesson for today is to actually learn and master one thing at a time, to use tools to accelerate you, not to replace you, to just exactly treat ChatGPT or Midjourney or DALL-E as an employee. You still have to look at the content. You still have to look at the pictures that go out there. You still have to look at is this something that I want my name on? And maybe you'll put out a little less content, but if it's a little bit better, it's going to pay off in the long run, because that's really where the action is. So I think this has been really cool. So I appreciate you giving me all of your time today, Nico. Where can people find out more about you, see what you're doing, see some of the cool projects that you're working on?
If you want to hear more about the business aspect of things, like the services that I offer, plproduction.co is where I'm at. If you want to see the type of content that I put out there, which has nothing to do with what we spoke about today, Nico Lagan everywhere. But yeah, we'll see. If you check me out on my socials, you might like it. You might not like it, but I'm everywhere. Just Nico Lagan on every single platform out there. I I post so many times every day everywhere. So
that's great. I'll put the in the show notes and below the video on YouTube. Yep. I'll put the links to all of your socials so people can follow you. Again, thank you so much for being here. This has been a very cool episode of the Artificial Intelligence Podcast. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Getting that first success with ChatGPT can be daunting. With just one prompt, you can switch ChatGPT into helper mode where it asks you the questions to get a great result. This immediately eliminates the risk of a bad prompt causing a bad result and puts you in the top 10% of ChatGPT users in the world. Get my master prompt absolutely free at artificialintelligencepod.com/master.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Artificial Intelligence Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss another episode. We'll be back next Monday with more tips and tactics on how to leverage AI to escape that rat race. Head over to artificialintelligencepod.com now to see past episodes, leave a review, and check out all of our socials.